continuing our series on grace this morning. Going to wrap it up today. And as we do, I want you to imagine with me a war between two superpowers. This war is not just any kind of war, but it's a world war. The two powers are vying for the souls of every single nation on the planet. And it's a war of epic proportions. The world has never seen a war like it. It's not even a war that comes close to the one started by Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, and Hirohito in World War II. It's a war that began before World War I with Kaiser Wilhelm II in Germany. It's a war that's been going on not years, not decades, not even centuries, but millennia, for thousands and thousands of years. In reality, you don't have to imagine such a war because there is a war that is taking place, and it's between God and Satan, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. And here's the thing, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy from every single person on the planet. And you and I, as the body of Jesus, the body of Christ who is still here, Jesus came to defeat the works of darkness. And as his body, we are fighting that fight each and every day of our lives, whether we realize it or not. And the thing is, God has not left us without power to fight a supernatural foe. And how many know the devil's supernatural? Yeah. He can do things that can't be explained. Demon-possessed people can do things that can't be explained. To fight a supernatural power, you need supernatural power. To fight a supernatural enemy, you need power from God because we cannot do this on our own. And Jesus has given us supernatural power through his grace. And so this morning, as we're wrapping it up, grace, as we learned last week, and it's there in your notes, grace is God's power and ability operating through us to do his will. Grace is not just favor. It's not just a gift. It's not just forgiveness. It's not just relationship with God, but grace is power. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Peter said, I want you to grow in grace, get stronger in grace, be more powerful, be better. And then he said, Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace. You can be weak in grace. You can be weak in it. We need to be strong in grace because we need power against this supernatural enemy that we're fighting a battle against. Last week we talked about the first two things that grace enables us to do. It enables us to do what is right. We can overcome sin. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. We have grace that is greater than all of our sin. Through grace, we are dead to sin and we're alive to God. We don't have to be bound in temptation, bound in addictions, bound in habits, bound in negative thought processes. God can help us conquer sin and all that comes with it. The second thing about grace is that it's the ability to endure suffering. God can give you power to go through the difficult times of life. How many have ever received power in a difficult time of life? You call out to God. You didn't know how you were going to make it, and he brought you through. That's the grace of God. God had grace of you, and he gave you the ability, the power to go through it. Today, we're going to look at the third thing, this third ability that grace gives us, and is the ability to accomplish great things for God. Grace is the ability to accomplish great things for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, reading out of the Common English Bible. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way, you will have everything you need always. Okay, you're going to have everything you need. How much of the time? Always, through grace, you have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for every kind of good work. God not only wants to save us, help us overcome sin, help us get through suffering, but he wants to give us power to do good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, you are God's workmanship. That word means masterpiece. And it says, you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And God has prepared these works from the beginning of time. You are fearfully, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 139. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has written in the days for you, written in books, days for you. He's planned them out. He has precious thoughts towards you. There are things God wants you and I to accomplish. He has prepared good works for us, and He's given us grace. He's given us the power, the ability to do those good works. It's the same power that God gave Moses when he was fighting against Pharaoh's magicians and all the supernatural signs they had. God one-upped them every single time. And God gives us that kind of supernatural power against the devil. The devil cannot stand against us. He gave Esther power to stand up for the Jews when Haman was trying to just obliterate the Jewish race into extinction. It's the kind of power that he gave David to defeat Goliath. It's the power he gave Joseph to solve the issue of worldwide famine. It's the same kind of healing power and miraculous power that he gave Jesus. He gave Peter and John and all the 12 and Paul as they went throughout preaching the gospel, they saw signs and wonders. That's the same power that you and I have available to us today. Are you awake this morning? You have power to do not only good works, but to do great works. God wants to accomplish great things for you. He does that in a couple of ways. In your notes this morning, number one, through your spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gifts are given by grace. Every spiritual gift we have comes from the grace of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you, let us use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And then it goes on, the rest of the verses 7 and 8, it lists a lot of other gifts, teaching, serving, exhorting, giving mercy. And he's saying, hey, God, through his grace, has given you gifts. Use the gifts God has given you. Peter taught that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a gift. Okay, how many people have received a gift? Raise your hand. Okay, if you're not raising your hand, then you're saying the Bible's a lie. Why? What does it say there? As every other one. Marty, yes. Tina, no. Lucas, yes. Oh, I skipped Jonas. No. Okay, Lynette, yes. Doug, no. No. God doesn't do that. As each one. As Katrina, as Jenny, as Dale, as Belinda, as Elsie, as Barbara, as Jan. As you go on, every single believer has a gift. As each one has received a gift, say, I'm gifted. You are gifted. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given us abilities. He's given each of us abilities. You realize that every week, every month, we have 140 volunteers that are exercising their spiritual gifts. Some of them are exercising the gift of teaching. Bill Haller, he teaches our adult Sunday school class, a Bible study, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, he's faithful in and out. Bonnie Martinez, every Wednesday, she teaches a ladies' Bible study. Anita McCoy, she's teaching our ladies' 1,000 Gifts Bible study right now. God empowers the gift of teaching. And when you're teaching, you're not just spewing out information. Our teachers for our kids' ministries or in youth ministries, they're not just not spewing out information. What they are doing is they are giving principles that build people up, that give them new insights about God, that encourage them, that inspire them, that comfort them, that challenge them, that give them revelation to help them to become more like Jesus, that empower them to do great things for God. When you teach, You are not just giving information, but you are helping people to grow and become better and to extend God's rule, God's reign, God's power in their life. And a lot of times, I think what happens, we do ministry and we don't realize what's really taking place. We look at it as a task. I'm teaching a class. I'm greeting at the front door. I'm changing the diaper in the nursery. I'm handing out food. Friends, you are not just doing a task. When you're at the front door greeting, do you realize that you are representing Jesus? It's God's house. And as people come in, we need to be praying, oh God, let them see your love through me. Let them see. How much do you think, how happy is God when a non-Christian comes into the church? How happy is he? He's excited. How happy is God going to be next week when we have a dozen, 20 unsaved people come for the playlist series? He's going to be thrilled. Because when they come in, they're having an opportunity to get to know him. By the way, on the back table, pick up a bunch of the invites. Pass them out. Give them to waiters, waitresses. Give them to the store clerks at Walmart. When you fill up with gas this week, say, hey, our church is having a special series, and you know it's called Playlist, and it's based on some songs. The songs are in the back there, and they'll see Million Reasons, Scars, You're Beautiful. Invite people. Invite your coworkers. Invite your neighbors. How are they going to hear if someone doesn't bring them? You have an opportunity to be an evangelist. Well, I can't speak. I can't evangelize. Yeah, you can. All you have to do is invite someone. How happy is God going to be next week when the 2, 3, 5 people you've invited, they come in through the doors? And you see, as they come through the doors, the greeter there, you know what the greeter is doing? The greeter is praying, and as they're saying hi and has a smile on their face, not a frown, yeah, what are you doing here this morning? No, as they're friendly, we're praying that the person realizes God is happy they're here. God is welcoming them. God loves them. God accepts them. It's not just handing them a bulletin and keeping the door open so it's an easier time to get into the building. Every task we do makes a difference. When you're working with kids in kids ministry, all of our workers, they are planting seeds in those little lives. They're inspiring hope. And some kids, they may come from a bad situation. You might be the only encouragement and the only light that they have in their life. Exercise your spiritual gifts. Use your gifts, whether it's in the media, whether it's on stage singing or playing, whether it's just serving, like Larry Kennedy putting a picnic together today. Normally we'd be up on the mountain, but by serving, Larry heads up meals ministry. When people get sick, there's a death in the family, he calls people, people go, and they bring meals to people. We're encouraging them in the time of need. Use your gifts. How many would raise your hand and say, Craig, I know my gift, my spiritual gift. Raise your hand. Many of you do. If you don't, you need to find out what it is. Begin to pray. Say, God, show me, because God wants to work through your gifts to impact people's lives. Your spiritual gifts come from grace. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, since we're receiving a kingdom, in other words, as we fight the kingdom of darkness, as the kingdom of God fights the enemy, fights Satan, it's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The devil cannot stop it. So many times we feel weak in what we do, friends. Through the power of God, we are strong in Christ Jesus. It says, let us have grace. Let us have the ability. Let us have the power to do what? By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. When our kids or our spouse receives a gift from us, maybe it's for a birthday or Christmas, how do you feel when they open it up and you see the joy on their face and they absolutely love it? How does that make you feel? Good. It makes you feel good. Now, how do you feel if they use it once or twice and it sits in the corner and they never touch it again? How's that make you feel? Not real good. But if you see them wear it regularly, if you see them constantly use it, you're going, yeah, they like it. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have bought so many toys and they just sit there now? We were cleaning out my daughter's closet. She's 12. She doesn't use the My Little Ponies and all the things we have anymore. And my wife says, we have spent hundreds, possibly thousands of dollars of toys for all four kids. And now what good are they? You know, you save some for the grandkids, which we don't have. That, you know, that's another time and another place. But, you know, really, how does God feel when he's given his body all these spiritual gifts? Everyone's received a gift. And we maybe use it once or twice. We just stick it in the closet and it doesn't matter anymore. God wants you and I to pick up those gifts he's given and use them regularly, weekly, daily, whatever that gift might be. Use your gift so that you can serve God acceptably. I think of the parable of the talents, the five, the two, the one, and the ones that used the gifts they were given by the master. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have served me acceptably. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But the servant that wasted his gift, that says, I'm not going to use the gift that God gave me, he says, you wicked and lazy servant. I don't want God to say to me, Craig, you were wicked and lazy. I want him to say, well done. You used the gifts I gave you. You helped people. You encouraged people. You saw that through your witness, people were saved. Use your gifts. Use your gifts. There's a second way that we activate this grace, that we utilize this grace, what it does for us. Number two, grace gives you the ability to speak and to know what to do. Grace gives you the ability to speak and to know what to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, it says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Jesus Christ. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. Now, I know some Christians who say, man, Craig, I can't speak. I can't witness. I can't share what my testimony, how I came to Christ. I can't ask someone if they need prayer. I can't invite someone to church. I can't take a little card. I'm just too shy. I'm too embarrassed. I mean, I can't talk. I can't speak. According to that verse, is that true or is that false? Is that a truth? Is that a fact? Or is that a lie that the devil has caused someone to believe? That is a lie, because it says you've been enriched in every way with all kinds of, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Thank you. Speech. You've been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech. Each one of us can speak for God. Now, how many of you, that scares you a little bit? Maybe a little bit. Yeah, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You have grace. You have power. You can do it. And the enemy wants so many of us to feel, I can't do anything for God. Because if the body is not exercising the power of God, then the body of Christ is ineffective and the kingdom of darkness wins. You and I can speak. You can tell someone how God healed you. You can tell someone how God saved you, how he revealed himself to you. You can tell someone what Jesus has done in your life, the faithfulness, how he's given you direction when you didn't know what to do, when you were going through that suffering. You can share. You can take a playlist invite and say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? You can speak for God and make an impact on other people's lives. I know some Christians say, well, I don't know what to do. You know, I get in a situation, I'm afraid to get in a situation and I don't know what to say, don't know what to do. I don't have the training. I haven't been to seminary. I don't have a degree in ministry, so I don't know what to do, so I shouldn't do it. Hey, the disciples, they didn't go to a Bible college, did they? They didn't have a master's of divinity. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. One was trying to overthrow the government. They were just regular people. In fact, in the book of Acts, they says, how do these uneducated men, how are they so powerful? They haven't had the schooling. They haven't had the training. And you know what it says? These men had spent time with Jesus. Because they spent time with Jesus, they had power. And that's why that verse says, in Him, through grace, you've been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God can show you what to do. He can show you what to say. This past week in our food pantry, the prayer team was meeting with the lady, and she's just going through a really horrible time. And the person working the prayer booth, Lucy Yoder, Lucy's got the gift of intercession, loves to pray for people. She says, "Pastor, could you talk to this lady? Could you take some time?" I says, "Yeah, sure." She came in and she starts telling me her story. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, God, I have no idea what to do. I mean, that's just how the situation was. As she's laying this out, I'm going, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And so in my mind, I'm saying, Jesus, help me. You know, I'm studying for this message. I'm thinking, okay, let's put this to practice. Let's see if this works. And as I'm sitting there and as she's sharing, all of a sudden, I felt God give me a question. And so I asked her that question when she was done. And I was just listening to what she was saying, processing it. And when she was done, I asked her this question. She answered, and God began to give me words and thoughts and concepts and ideas and more questions to ask. And it opened up a door. I was able to share the gospel with her. And I said, would you like to receive Christ? And she hesitated and she says, not yet. I mean, she is so close. Kind of reminds me of King Agrippa. Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. But here's the thing. Going into that, I had no idea what to say or do. And I've had training. See, it doesn't matter who you are. The devil is going to try to make you feel inadequate that you don't know what to do. You can't study for every situation. You can't prepare for every situation. But Jesus says, take no thought when they bring you before kings, when they bring you before governors. I will be there. My Spirit will give you the power. He'll give you the knowledge. He'll show you what to say. He'll show you what to do. And that same power the disciples walked with, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You have the grace, the ability with all kinds of speech. You have all knowledge through the power of the Holy Spirit. God can empower you to do great things for Him. How do we see this grace come alive in our lives? How does it become real? How does it take hold so that every day we can be walking in this power? In your notes this morning, have faith for God to work as you work. Have faith for God to work as you work. When you speak, when you pray for someone, when you talk to someone, when you answer a question, as you do it, you're just having faith. God, you're going to work in this. You're going to use what I'm saying. You're going to spark something. You're going to convict them. You're going to comfort them. You're going to encourage them. You're going to turn the light bulb on in their mind. Whatever the situation it is, whether it's with a Christian or a non-Christian, someone who's hurting, someone who needs direction, God will show you what to do. And you just have faith that God, as I'm working, as I'm doing, as I'm exercising my spiritual gift, I have faith that you're going to work. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and this is referring to salvation, it says, by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. How many of you know that we can't save ourselves? There's nothing that you and I can do to earn our way to heaven. And so how do we become a Christian? We heard that Jesus died on the cross, and we have to put our complete faith in His ability to save us. Right? Only God is able to save us, so I am trusting you, God, to save me. We're trusting in His ability, and that's just the same way it works in being used of God and seeing power. God, I can't do anything about this, just like I can't save myself. You can do everything pertaining to this situation, this problem, this conflict, whatever someone's dealing with in their life, God, you can do it. And so as I step out and I speak, as I step out and I minister, I am trusting that you are going to work just as when I put my total faith in you for salvation, I trusted that you were going to forgive me, you were going to accept me, you were going to welcome me, and you're going to give me relationship, and He did. And so just step out and have faith that God is going to work. Believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to do great things as you do things. It's a partnership. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He wants to work in you, but He works when we work. And we have to step out in faith and do that. We see this whole concept illustrated in Zechariah 4. It's a great, great passage. Zechariah 4, the setting is a man named Zerubbabel has a great project in front of him. The project is to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem that had been destroyed. Israel had been in exile, and he comes back, and God's given him the task to rebuild the temple despite opposition from neighboring Samaritans. He also, the people he was working with who were living there were greatly discouraged. They were tired. They were worried. They had been attacked by other enemies. They were fearful, and many of those people had turned away from God. That's his workforce he's working with. And so he is praying, and he's saying, God, what do we do? This is an extremely difficult task, and God gives him the answer. Zechariah 4, verse 6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, a lot of times we stop right there, but read on. It says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of what? Grace. Grace to it. Grace was the power that was enabling Zerubbabel to do this. And to see this mountain-like task, this huge task, almost impossible task to do, God is going to level it flat as a pancake. It'll be like a plane that you walk across. You don't have to walk across a mountain. You just walk across the plain. That's what God is going to do in the power of His Spirit. And it's through the grace, having faith in God's power to do it. What tasks are we facing that seems so difficult? What mountains are we facing that we feel we can't get over it, and we just need to rely on the power of God and speak grace to it? God's power can do anything. What's our theme for the year? God defies the odds. No matter how big the mountain is, it doesn't matter. God defies the odds. All things are possible. When you have that situation at work and God opens a door to witness, oh boy, that's a mountain I can't do. No, you walk through that door and say, God, thank you. I trust you're going to show me what to say. You're going to show me what to do. And you speak and you act and you minister and you pray and you ask questions as God opens that door. And what seemed like a mountain that you couldn't do it, God deflates the mountain and it becomes just, you know, flat as a pancake. You can walk right across. God will give you His ability if you just have faith in Him. But it goes on, verse 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, so realize there was one word of the Lord, not by might, not by power, but now here's another word. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Zerubbabel had to keep building. He couldn't just sit back and say, oh, praise God, not by power, but my God's going to build this thing. I'm going to kick back in my lazy boy and sip some lemonade, watch some TV. God, you build the temple. Amen. Is that what happened? No. You see, God says, Zerubbabel, you need to keep working. And as you work, then it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. As you work, I will work. It's a partnership. And friends, the Holy Spirit wants to partner with you and I each and every day. But you know what I think happens sometimes? We just get up and I've got this to do today and that to do today. And we go through our day doing what we have to do, but not thinking about how does the Holy Spirit want to partner with us? And how does He want to do God's work? How does He want to do great things? God wants to use you and I. You just have faith. Every day, wake up and say, God, here I am. Give me your power. Give me your grace. Help me to be sensitive all day long, to be alert and aware of what's happening. And to see yourself as the body of Jesus, the hands, the mouth, the ears, the eyes of Jesus, to see what he sees, to hear what he hears, to do what he does, to go where he goes. God, help me, empower me, I need your grace. Are we available for God to minister through us? That is key. Have faith. So what do you do? Ask for it. Ask for it. Pray for it. Plead. Seek God. And it's not just, oh, God, give me grace and I walk out. We need to be people of prayer, spending time with Jesus. Don't be so busy thinking that you don't have time for God. If Jesus prayed as much as you and I pray, how powerful would have his ministry been on planet Earth? Now, I realize there's a little different. That was his calling. He didn't have to go to the oil field, and he didn't have to do stuff. But here's the thing. If our prayer life is just 2-3 minutes, it's over pancakes in the morning, or if it's, oh, God, I need help, you know, whatever it is. If our prayer life is minimal, we will not see the power of God. We need to ask him for power. Spend time in his presence. Let him be with us. And as we're with Jesus, then he fills us up. He can prepare. He can show you some things you might encounter. And for those that he doesn't, you just know, hey, when it comes, I have all speech. I have all knowledge. The Holy Spirit's with me. He's going to show me what to do. Spend time in the presence. Ask for God. The second thing is be humble and give glory to God. James 4:6, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Pride will always get in the way of God's grace. How many of you have ever been lost? You're driving around and you're lost, and you don't know where to go, but you won't stop for directions. Anyone ever do that before? I can figure this out. All the wives are pointing to their husbands. Yeah! I was sharing before with the worship team and those in the service, you know, this is what we're doing today, and all the ladies says, that's a man thing. Hey, I know some ladies who do it too, okay? But have you ever been lost and you don't know directions, you don't know where to go? Well, I can handle this. That pride keeps you from getting to your destination. But here's the thing. Do you realize that if God is not in charge of our day, in reality we're lost? And how many times do we wake up and we don't take time and say, God, prepare me. Work through me. Give me that grace. Give me that power. No, we just rush off. And the Holy Spirit's saying, man, I want to do some of those things that Jesus did. I want to do some of those things that Paul did. I want to do some of those. I want to, like Peter and John, the way the temple, they healed that crippled man. I want to do those kind of things. And I am looking for people who will partner with me. And they will humble themselves at the beginning of the day. And they'll say, God, I need you. Work through me. Use me. Here I am. I'm giving myself to you. I'm yielding myself to you. I want to be the body of Christ. I am trusting you that you're going to give me the power. You're going to give me the knowledge. You're going to give me the speech, the words to say. And you enter the day. Because you have engaged that partnership with the Holy Spirit. You've humbled yourself and you've asked him for it. The last thing, how do we activate faith, is get into the Word to build your faith in God's ability. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And sometimes we don't really think God can use us. Can God really do it? Does he do it now? The more of the Word you get into, the more Word you hear in your spirit and your heart, the greater your faith will be that, yes, God can use me and God can do something. 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The way we gain the knowledge, as we gain the knowledge of God, grace isn't added, it's multiplied. How many like multiplication? I like it when my money in the bank is multiplied, and not just added, you know, 2 pennies this month for your interest. Give me some multiplication. And God wants to multiply his grace in you by increasing your faith as you know him through the Word. And so as we ask, and as we humble ourselves and say, God, I want this partnership with you today. And here's the thing. Make sure you stay humble when God uses you. Because when you start taking the glory, you're not going to see it happen. You're giving the glory to God, and then you're getting in the Word, and you're just building yourself up, realizing who God is. God is going to begin to do great things through you. And as each one of us in the body does it, it's going to be a catalyst for revival. God is looking for his body to join him in what his will, his desire is to make an impact in other people's lives. Right now, I want you to begin praying. Just close your eyes. I want you to just ask God for grace. Begin to ask him for power to accomplish his work, and then tell him, how do you want him to use you? Some of you, you're battling fear. Ask God to take that fear away. Ask him to help you speak. Ask him